We are continuing our series this morning, which Tammy Dixon kicked off last week, simply entitled Kingdom Come. In the book of Matthew, chapter 6, Jesus is teaching his disciples and talking to his disciples, and one of the things he does is he lays out this model prayer. And we call it the Lord's Prayer. And there's nothing magical about reciting this particular prayer. It's just more of, hey, when you pray, these are the things that need to encompass your prayer. And one of the things that he says is found in verse 10. And he says this, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What Jesus is implying is that when we pray, we need to not only pray for our life after this earth, but what we need to be focused on is asking God, how can I help bring the kingdom of God to this planet? How can I bring the kingdom of God to my community? How can I bring the kingdom of God to my job, to my school, to my home? Because that's part of what it means to live out a life of being a follower of Jesus. It's about bringing the kingdom of God here. So Timmy and I, as we were thinking about this and talking about this series as it was coming up, that was one of the things we talked about. It was right now, more than any other time, maybe at least in our lifetimes, definitely, but maybe in the history of the world, right now is the time for the church to be the church. Right now is the time for us to bring the kingdom of God to earth, to those who are sick, to those who are hurting, to those who are afraid and scared. To bring the kingdom of God here, let his kingdom come. So a lot of this is found in later on in the book of Matthew, and actually Matthew chapter 13. Jesus goes through and he has a series of teachings and several parables that he breaks into, which describes not only what the kingdom of God is like, but what needs to happen on this earth, and more specifically, what needs to happen in our individual lives if we're going to experience this kingdom come and be part of bringing that kingdom here. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn me to Matthew chapter 13. We're going to read first, 8 or 9 verses here. Matthew chapter 13, if your Bible's like mine, it's probably titled The Parable of the Sower. Matthew didn't put that title in there. That was put in there by man. And I'm going to be honest with you, I disagree with that title. Because I don't think this is a parable about a sower. I don't even think it's a parable about the seed. This is a parable about soil. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning, is about the soil. So verse 13, it says in chapter 13, verse 1, it says, the same day Jesus went out of the house and he sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly, but because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came out, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop. 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. I'm going to ask right now, if you would, to pray for me as I pray for you. Lord, we just come before you this morning and we pray that we have ears to hear, that we have eyes to see. And Lord, that we use this time as some deep self-examination of the soil in our own life. The soil of our heart, the soil of our soul. Lord, if there's a hardened path, if there's rocks, if there's thorns, Lord, I pray this morning you reveal that to us. And that, God, we do whatever it takes to replace that with the good soil so that you can grow the fruit in our life which will bring heaven to earth and allow your kingdom to come. Lord, we pray all these things in your name. Amen. That verse there in verse 9, Jesus says, he who has ears, let him hear. Now, this is the only time that that exact words are used in the scripture is in the Gospels, and it's always used by Jesus. It's not found in any other part. There's no other teacher. There's not Moses or anybody else or David or Jeremiah. There's no other prophet. There's nobody that uses these words but Jesus. Because obviously Jesus had come to earth. He was working with his disciples. He was teaching the crowds. And as he looked around, at this point, Jesus is extremely popular. He has a huge crowd, so much so that scriptures even told us he had to get in a boat and kind of push it away from shore just so he could have a little space to teach. And he had to have gotten to this point where in his ministry where he's teaching and he's teaching and he's teaching, he's doing miracles and all of these things. And he still has people that are hearing what he's saying and seeing what he's doing, and it's having no effect in their lives. So Jesus goes through this parable and he ends it with, if you have ears, you better be listening. Well, then his disciples asked him, why? Verse 10, the disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to people in these parables? He replied, verse 11, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. This is why I speak in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I will heal them. But blessed are your eyes because you can see, and blessed are your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but they didn't see it, and to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it. Now, I love the way this plays out because I can imagine that this conversation, remember, he's standing on a boat and he's just went over this parable with all these people that are sitting there listening to him. And the disciples, it doesn't say, maybe they're on the boat with him or maybe they're on the shore, but the people are still around and they're still within earshot. And they ask Jesus, they're like, why are you talking in these parables? We don't get it. And Jesus goes in, and can you imagine this? I mean, to me, it's comical. Like, here are the people that Jesus is talking about, and he's like, you know why I talk in parables? Because they don't listen. None of them see me. None of them understand. They're dodos, right? They're knuckleheads. Like, he's going on, and he's describing, and they're like, hey, we're here. We can hear you, right? Like, there has to be this, like, awkward moment where, you know, where they're feeling like, gosh, I know he's talking about us. Does he know that we can hear him? And that's the point. Jesus wanted them to hear him. That he wanted them to know that, look, you see the things I'm doing. You see the miracles. You hear this, like, this crazy teaching that I'm doing that's turning this world upside down. But you're not really listening. If you have kids, you understand exactly what Jesus is going through here, right? I mean, we have three, and it doesn't matter. I can walk into our kitchen, and I can be standing there, and I'm going to pick on Maria. Can I pick on you this morning, Maria? Yeah, okay, my confident child. Look, so she'll be sitting there, and I'll say, Maria, look at all of these dishes in the sink that need to be done. Can you empty the dishwasher and put those in the sink? Sure, Dad, I'll do that. All right. And then I come back an hour later, and I walk in the kitchen. What do you think I find? This mound of dishes in the sink. And I'm like, Maria! And she's, you know, doing whatever she's doing, practicing wrestling moves on her brother or whatever. But I'm like, Maria, like, why? Like, why didn't you do the dishes? Oh, I didn't see them. What? Like, you were standing right there with me. Well, I told you to clean them, and you said you would. I don't remember. You didn't tell me that. You know, that's it. Like, that's that. And I'm going to be fair. Like, our kids get it honestly. Because I am married to a woman, and Beth is brilliant. She is an expert in her field as an attorney, and she uses all of her energy to focus throughout the day while she's at her job. But when she's at home, it is like ADHD to the 1,000th power, right? I mean, it is like, and so she'll sometimes say, hey, honey, what's the weather going to be today? And I'll pull out my phone, open the app, and I'll say, all right, it's going to be hot and sunny, high of 95, 30% chance of thunderstorms. Okay. 30 seconds later, hey, honey, what's the weather going to be today? This happens every day of our life, right? And every time I'm like, it hasn't changed in the last 30 seconds. And she's like, oh, did you tell me? I'm like, yes, I told you, right? So it's possible. What Jesus is saying is, look, it is possible. Jason's like, I testify. I see that hand, right? Like, it is possible to have ears and to have eyes and to be able to listen and see things, but not really see things and not really hear things. That's exactly what Jesus is trying to tell them. It is possible, Jesus is saying, to come to church every Sunday, to hear the message every Sunday, to hear the songs, to read the verses on the screen, whether it's in the song or the chorus, or read the scriptures. It's possible to see and to hear everything that happens on a Sunday morning and walk out of these doors and not remember any of it. Because although you were here physically, your mind's eye and your mind's ear was someplace else. Just because you're here, and just because you see, and just because you listen, does not mean that you truly see and that you truly hear what we need to hear. That is what Jesus is saying. So he goes into this parable, and he says, it's like a farmer who was sowing seed. And Jesus was very deliberate in his parables. He wouldn't have been talking to fishermen or carpenters about farming. He knew that the people that they were there, that were listening to him, this was something that they could relate to. So when he said, it's like a farmer, they all were like, ah, okay, this is one of our people. Like, we get this, right? I mean, it's just, they understand. So he says, it's like a farmer who's going out and he's throwing seed. And he's throwing seed out. You know, this is back in the day. They didn't have some fancy equipment to go out and sow. They didn't have the machines you can push or spread seed or anything. They just grabbed it by hands. They literally had bags over their donkeys, and they would just kind of cut a slit in them and just grab it and throw it out as the donkey was walking. They were just throwing out seed, hoping that something would fall and take root in this field. Well, sometimes as they're throwing seed, it might go on the path that they're actually walking on. It may, you know, fall in the area where there's some rocks. It may go off and fall in some area where there's some thorns and a brush. And some of it may actually fall in the soil that's been tilled and that they're ready to produce crops. They understood all of this. They understood this imagery because that was their life. They got that. And Jesus is saying, look, when something doesn't grow on your farm, it's not the farmer's fault. It's not the seed's fault. It's the soil's fault. Because it's not the seed's problem. The seed is the same seed. The same seed that falls on the path, that falls in the rocks, that falls in the thorns, that falls on good soil. It's all the same seed. The farmer is still the same farmer. Just because the farmer throws out seed and some of it lands in one area and not the other and vice versa, and some of it takes root, the farmer didn't do anything extra special. The farmer didn't say any magic words or wave his hand over or say a special prayer about certain seeds that it grew. No, he was just the same farmer, the same seed. The only thing that's different in this story is what? The soil. So Jesus is saying, look, when I'm coming to you, when I'm teaching, when I'm doing these miracles, and you say you're listening and you say that you can see what's going on, you can't. Because it's just like a farmer throwing out seed. I'm throwing out all of this stuff, and best case scenario, 25% of you are actually getting it. The other 75 don't have a clue. Because even though you have eyes, you're not seeing it. Even though you have ears, you're not hearing. Doesn't that describe the church today, right? I want to walk in here as your pastor and assume we have 100% good soil. But I've been a pastor way too long to know that's not the truth. Because I know that we all have seasons even where the soil of our life, the soil of our soul, is not what it needs to be to produce any kind of fruit. So after Jesus kind of goes through and kind of lays it out, this is why I have to speak in parables. This is why I have to tell these stories, because they're not listening any other way. He goes in and begins to explain. He says this. Pick up in verse 18. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone who hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path.
The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word, and once he receives it with joy, But since he has no root, it lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the world, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of his life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on the good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. So, Jesus is telling the story of this farmer. He's explaining a seed and a process of spreading seed that everyone there understands. And he's speaking in a language that they get, that they understand, that when they're throwing out the seed, when they're going out as farmers, that it isn't all going to produce a crop. Some of it is going to go one place, some of it somewhere else, someone somewhere else, and only a little bit is actually going to get to where it needs to grow to where so you can produce a crop that is fruitful. They get this. And Jesus says, let me break it down for you because you understand now what I'm talking about because I've painted a picture that you guys live on a daily basis. Let me explain to you exactly what I mean. Some of you are like the path. You know that path that you walk along and you're throwing out seed and it lands on the path and you know as soon as it lands on the path that the birds are just going to come get it? That seed is a lot like some of your hearts. That your hearts have become so hardened, your hearts have become so callous that Jesus is saying, I can teach and I can show and I can do all these miracles, but you're just going to be like, all right, whatever, and move on. Now, we don't like to think that's us. But how often do you read something in Scripture or you hear a sermon and or you whatever it may be, and the first instinct you have is, oh, I hope so-and-so is hearing this, right? Man, I wish so-and-so was here today because, man, they needed to hear this. Why do they need to hear it and you don't, right? Like, we need to hear it too. Like, we need to hear all of this. The Scripture wasn't designed just for one particular person here or there. It was designed for all of us. It was written for all of us. And what happens is we often walk in, and whether it's a sermon that we sit in church or we listen to online or we watch online or listen on a podcast, those sermons might be motivational. They might be inspiring. But often, if we're that hardened heart that says, you know what, I'm a good person, I'm fine, this isn't really for me, it's for somebody else, then that moment is fleeting. Because we hear it, it sounds cool, it's inspiring, but you know what, it's not really for me, because I'm good enough the way that I am. And we walk out the door, we turn off the computer, or shut down our iPhone and stop listening to whatever it is, God's word, or we don't even open our Bible, and we're just like, that's for somebody else. I'm fine the way that I am. That's the path. Now, I don't think there's a lot of us that are on that, you know, that type of soil. I think that's a small percentage, especially of most church people. But I think the next two kind of gets to the larger percentage. So Jesus is saying, look, you know what's going to happen when you throw seed on the path. It's not even going to take root. Nothing's going to happen. Like, the birds are just going to come grab it and it's gone. It's like fleeting, right? There's no hope. But then he says, but some of you are like the rocks. And that when you're like going out and you're throwing out this seed, you know that as you've tilled up this ground, odds are you've tilled up some rocks and you've tilled up some gravel or whatever else that may be in the soil there. And it kind of gets pushed to the side. And as you're throwing out seed, that's going to land on that rocky soil. And that rocky soil might have some very dense amount of soil in it, right? In those rocks. And the seeds may find their way through the rocks, and it may find their way a little bit into the soil, what little soil is there with those rocks, and it may begin to take root. But it ain't going to be long before all of a sudden it's gone because it doesn't have any depth. It doesn't have true roots. And Jesus is saying, that's so many of us. Like, we live in this life of rocks. We have a lot, you know, going on in our lives, whatever it may be. And we hear God's word. We may go to a Bible study or attend a worship gathering or even read some scripture. And we hear some stuff and we're like, man, that's exactly, that's what I want. Like, that's what I need to hear. And we start to kind of hope that that seed takes root. And then we kind of go about life. And the first time trouble hits, the first time things kind of get hard, all of a sudden it's like the sun scorching on that whatever you planted there, and those rocks, and it just gets scorched. As a pastor, I have seen it 1,000 times. Whether it's been at an altar, and I have someone come forward and say, Mike, I just pray. I want to give my life to God, or I want to just rededicate my life, and I want to live for him. Or they'll call me, and we'll come in, and we'll sit through some counseling sessions together, or they'll call me or text me, and they're like, you know what, Mike, gosh, that sermon was exactly what I needed to hear. Like, I'm changing everything about my life. Like I'm doing it. Like, I'm all in. And then I don't see them for a few weeks or a few months. And then a year they pop back up, you know, because there's no soil there. The soil is rocky. And so they hear the word a little bit and they kind of understand it. And they're like, ah, man, that sounds like what I need. And my soul feels like that's what I'm being drawn to. But when push comes to shove, there's no follow through. They hear it. They believe it. They see it in other people's lives. But for their own life, there's just no follow through. And I'm telling you what, I spent a countless number of hours in my life as a pastor wasting on people with rocky soil. And this is what I mean by that. Because as a friend or as a pastor, somebody would come to me and I could see the rocks in their life. Like, I knew if they could just remove these rocks, if they could just remove these obstacles, then man, they would finally get to some fresh dirt. And so I would walk with them, not just days or weeks or months, but sometimes years, helping them or at least trying to remove these heavy rocks out of their life so that they could, the word and the seed could take root. And it was like, as soon as you pull out one rock, there was another. As soon as you pull out that rock, there was another. And I found myself exhausted because as the farmer, I'm pulling out rocks that's not even in my soil. You guys need to be doing that. You guys understand the rocks in your own soil and what needs to be removed. I have a guy, I know him a long time ago at a couple other churches I was at, and great dude, you know, hot and cold as far as his faith. You know, he goes through seasons where he's all on fire for Jesus, and the next time I see him, he's not. And now it's like about once a year, he emails me this long email. Mike, I'm ready to get my life right. God, you know, I need this, da-da-da-da-da. And it used to be I would immediately call him, immediately go meet him, pray with him, try to help remove these rocks. Now, maybe this makes me a bad pastor. I don't even respond. I'm just like, you know what's it like? You're an adult now. You're a grown man. You've been in church your whole life. You've heard all of these teachings. All I could do is throw the seed out. If you want the rocks gone in your life, then you need to do the heavy lifting. It's not up to me. And Jesus is saying, look, you understand this as farmers. He's telling the crowd this, that you know if you throw it on rocks, it may spring up for a little bit, but it's just not going to grow. So are we going to take all of our time and remove the rocks? Or are we going to take the time and focus on the soil that's truly growing and producing fruit? Jesus goes on. He says, sometimes when you're throwing out stuff, it may not land on the path, it may not land on the rocks, but it may land kind of around the edges of what you've tilled up. And in those edges might be some brush, and there's probably going to be some thorns, and there's going to be some weeds. And when you throw stuff out, you know that over time those weeds are going to come up, and it's going to take over that plant. I had a neighbor one time who decided he wanted to plant a garden. And he tilled and he worked and he had this beautiful little spot in his yard all ready for his garden. He went through and bought fencing and put fencing around it so that no deer or anything could kind of get into it. And all of a sudden, things started growing. It was incredible. It was a nice looking garden. But he never went out there and took care of the weeds, ever. And I'm not exaggerating. By the end of the summer, the weeds were higher than his tomato plants. Like, he just had this fenced-in area that was all weeds.
And he'd be like, hey, if you want to go over and get a tomato, go ahead. I'm like, I'm not going in that. Like, there's no telling what's living in that thing. Like, there's no way I'm going in that garden, right? But that is like, it happens. Like, the seed gets thrown out in our life, and maybe there's some fruit that's popping up occasionally, but all of a sudden, other things start to grow in our life. We start to get busy. We start to have distractions. You know, Jesus spoke specifically about worry and wealth. And some of us have wealth. We have an abundance. We have all of these things that distract us. And we get so busy that we don't take care of the fruit that's being produced. And before we know it, we're just like that garden that's completely fenced in, but you can't see any of the healthy plants because all you see in that life is the weeds and the thorns that's choking out the fruit. And for some of us, it's the worry. The thorns that pop up are the worry. Carolyn spoke about it just a few moments ago, and it was awesome, about anxiety. It's just that you're looking at the future and you're not seeing Jesus. Is that not what is happening in churches? Is that not what's happening to believers everywhere? Man, we're looking at this world right now, and we're seeing, you know, the way people are harming one another, and we have this virus, and we have all of this stuff, and it's this crazy political season, and there's all this turmoil, and there's all of this stuff going on, and I'm telling you, it's very easy to look at that and get scared. It's very easy to look at that and get worried. It's very easy to look at that and have anxiety. But Carolyn was exactly right. Anxiety is that, as believers, is that we don't trust Jesus has the future. And that's why Jesus said, look, you may land on some soil that's going to produce some fruit, but it's also going to produce some weeds. It's also going to produce some thorns. That it's going to produce wealth. It's going to produce worry. And that's going to come up and choke you out. Do you know that the German word for worry is the same word they use for choke? It is. The root word of worry is like to choke. That's it. Like, it's what it literally means that when we worry, it is choking us out. How much of our fruit over the last 4 or 5 months has been not existent? Because all we've done in our life is worry and be scared about what's next. That's a lot. And sometimes the worry that we receive, it's transferred from someone else. I'm going to pick on Susie Wells. Susie, can I pick on you right now? All right, so Beth and I and the kids, we went up to this absolutely gorgeous state park in Virginia. If you've never been there, it was our first time ever going. It was called Grayson Highlands State Park. It's incredible. Like, you go hiking, and there are wild ponies everywhere. And they will come right up to you, and you can pet the ponies. And there's wild steer. I mean, it's just beautiful hiking, beautiful country. The Appalachian Trail goes right through the middle of it. I mean, it's just amazing. And so we get there, and they have these huge rock formations. And all three of my kids were, like, climbing up these rocks and all this stuff and going up there. And, of course, Beth and I are worried that they're going to fall off. So we're constantly like, don't go too high. Let us see you. You know, like, we're being the helicopter parent. This is just, like, last week, right? I mean, they're not three. They're literally almost 17, and we're saying this to them. Like, don't fall. You know, we're like, we're there. So we come back, and I'm having this conversation with Susie. I'm like, oh, Susie, we went to Grayson Highlands, and Susie used to be a horseback, like, I don't know, expert. Let's just call you that, right? She knows all things horses. And so we used to go horseback riding up there all the time. We'd go up there and camp. We did all this kind of stuff. And I was like, yeah, this is what the kids were doing. They were climbing on these rocks and da-da-da-da. And Susie said, be careful because there's rattlesnakes. And I was like, I didn't even think of that. Right? Like, I'm worried about the kids falling off, and now I'm just like, there's rattlesnakes everywhere. And so I know that the next time I go, I'm going to be like, don't get there, there's a hole, there may be a rattlesnake in it. You know, like, that's going to be the thing I worry about. But I know as this, like, protective mother, right? That was just what she was doing. She was just like, hey, just be, there's rattlesnakes, be careful. But me, as that, like, hyper-vigilant, like, helicopter parent, I'm just like, oh, no, like, snakes on a plane type thing, they're going to be coming down on us. Like, that's all I'm envisioning. But that worry can be transferred, and all of a sudden it starts to choke out the joy, right? Like, somebody can tell you something like that, and then you're going to go, and I'm not saying this is going to happen, so don't feel guilty, but what if I went up there again and I hiked and I was worried the whole time about snakes? Then I'd come home, and I've just wasted that entire vacation with my family. I just wasted those few days that we had hiking and exploring and all of these things because I was worried and on edge the entire time. Why?
Why did my joy get strangled? Because of worry. That is our life. Jesus understood that. He was telling them this. You can throw out seed, and it may even take root and start to grow, but if what's growing around it is wealth and worry, and it's choking it out because your life's too busy, and it's like an overpacked suitcase, and you're just trying to cram Jesus in and buckle it in as fast as you can, it ain't going to work. It's just not going to work. You cannot have a passion for Jesus if the only thing you're passionate about is yourself. Because it's not about what you own. It's about what owns you. Like, what is that thing in your life? What is that thing that keeps coming up and owning you and wrapping you? Maybe it's worry. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's anxiety. But maybe it's busyness. Maybe it's chasing the dollar. Maybe it's, I don't know, health. Any of these other things. But all of a sudden, that's it. That's the thing that kind of springs up. That's the thing that you're more passionate about than Jesus. And I'm going to tell you this right now. Faith cannot grow in the soil of worry if fear is the fertilizer. It can't. Because that's what's in our soul a lot of times. It's not this soil that faith can grow in. It's a soil that is a mixture of worry and fear and all of this stuff. And then we walk out and we're like, man, I don't understand why I don't have more faith. Well, look at your soil. If your soil is full of fear and worry, if it's full of stuff, you know, all the other stuff we add into our lives, how is anything ever going to grow there? I'm going to be honest, I think this is where most of us fall. And just like for years I spent so much time trying to remove rocks from people's lives, I spent way too much time trying to remove the thorns. And the biggest difference between the rocks and the thorns is the rocks will make you exhausted, the thorns hurt. Because you invest so much of your time mentally, emotionally, spiritually, into someone that doesn't want to invest anything in themselves. They're not willing to do the weeding. They're not willing to do the heavy lifting. They're not willing to remove the rocks. They're not willing to get rid of the thorns in their life. So you're the one that's always getting stuck. And I don't know, looking at this parable that Jesus is telling, I don't see anywhere where he says the farmer stopped and started pulling out the rocks and started grabbing the weeds. Our job as believers is to spread the seed. Let God take care of the rest. We're here to spread the seed. And then he gets into the fourth. The fourth, he just simply says, is good soil. And they understood that. He says, look, you know what it's like when you throw out some seed and some good soil and all of a sudden it's growing and there's no rocks around, the birds aren't coming and taking it and all of these, like that's good stuff. One of my best friends in the world, Charles, I was hanging out with him the other day, and he's a little bit older than I am. Well, we'll say a lot of bit older because he may be listening. He's a lot of bit older than I, but him and his wife were telling me, they were like, we have been planting gardens for 40 years, and this is the best garden we've ever had in our life. And I'm like, well, what made the difference? He looked at me and said, an electric fence. He's like, we always had deer and other stuff coming over. He's like, we just built a big fence and put an electric fence around it. He's like, it's kept out everything. And we've been going in there and weeding and making sure. He's like, we have this abundance. We've never had this much fruit before, produce, like all this stuff. We've never had this much before. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's like, would you not want a crop that's 30, 60, or 100 times more than what you planted? Don't you want that abundance in your life? And every farmer listening that day was like, yes, that's what we want. And Jesus said, then you better start listening. And you better start watching. Because God gave you ears and he gave you eyes. But you're not seeing and you're not hearing. If you want the soil that will produce an abundance, you have got to take care of your soil. Because it's not about the sower, it's not about the seed. There's nothing wrong with those. The only thing that is different in this story is the soil. So how's your soil? Can you walk out of here this morning and say, man, I've got good soil. Like, my life right now is the richest it's ever been. Like my life is producing like 30, 60, or 100 times more than I ever thought it could have. Is that you? If it is, praise God, that's you. Let's celebrate that together. But if you sat in here this morning and you were like, man, I wish so-and-so was here to hear this. And I guarantee you, your heart is that path. You've not heard a thing because it doesn't apply to you because I'm a good person. Or maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're getting that same feeling you've had before where you're just like pumped up. Yes, this is what I need to do. Man, I'm ready. Well, if you could walk out these doors and you don't take care of the rocks in your life, if you don't remove the obstacles that's preventing this root from getting in the ground, you're going to be in the same place again next week with the exact same feeling. Man, I don't know. I went to church and nothing happened. Well, there ain't nothing wrong with church and there ain't nothing wrong with the seed. It's the soil. And maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're like, man, I believe, I live, I know I see some fruit in my life. But if I'm really honest, it's not what it needs to be. It's not where it needs to be. Because maybe I've put too much stuff ahead of God, too much stuff ahead of my relationship with Christ. It's not, I've said it before, and I'll say it till the day I die. It's not about putting God and Christ first above all things. That's not it. That's not the goal. The goal is not to create some kind of priority list, and Jesus is first, and then we start putting family, friends, whatever, all the way down. No, Jesus never said, I want to be first above all things. He says, I want to be first in all things. I want to be first in your job. I want to be first in your marriage. I want to be first in your relationship with your kids. I want to be first in all of these things. Because if Jesus is first in all of these things, then our priorities are in order. Because everything we do is reflecting the love of Christ. Our marriages will be healthier. Our family dynamics will be healthier. We'll be better employees or better employers. Because Jesus is first. I'm telling you right now. Stuff we have, the worries that occupy and take residence in our mind and our soil of our lives, it's time to pull some weeds. What are we worried about? Jesus even said the birds don't worry about tomorrow because they know I'm going to take care of them. Aren't you greater than the birds? Aren't we? Jesus, what are you worried about? I've got this. I've got you. I'm just asking that you put me first. Just let me be first. Just let me be the sower that can plant seed in good soil. You just give me the soil. That's our only responsibility, is for us to have the soil that Jesus can plant the seed in to allow us to have 30, 60, or 100 growth greater than we've ever had before. That is our only job. So how's your soil? Is it hard? Is it rocky? Is it thorny? Because if it's any of those things, and there's a good chance most of us are there, what's it going to take? What's it going to take to remove the rocks, to remove the thorn, to at least admit, Jesus, I need you, to break ground on that hardened path? What's it going to take? It's going to take us saying, Jesus, have it all. Just take it all. Take all that I am, everything I have, my job, my relationship with my kids, my wife, my church. Just take it all. Jesus, just show me what I need to do. Show me the rocks that need to be removed. Show me the weeds that need to be pulled. Because all I want, God, is for me to have good soil. That is all I want. So whatever you throw out in my life will produce fruit. That I can love like you, I can forgive like you, I can have the peace that you offer that nothing else can. The only way we can experience any of that stuff is if we're right with our soil. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, this morning I just pray that we all in here, that everyone in this room, everyone watching online, that we do a soil check. That we test the soil of our lives and figure out, is it even ready to produce growth? That maybe we spend way too much time blaming the farmer, blaming the seed. And the fact of the matter is, our soil is not ready to receive what you want to give us. God, let us do a soil test this morning.
If our heart and our soul is as hard as a path, God, I pray you do whatever it takes to break that soil up. God, if the process has already started and you've already started breaking ground, then God, show us the rocks, show us the obstacles in our lives that we keep coming back to, that we keep running into, Lord. And God, give us the strength to remove those rocks from our lives. God, if we hear your word and we even see the things that you're doing, but we still, for whatever reason, allow the worries and the wealth of this world to choke out our joy, to choke out our hope, to choke out our future. Lord, this morning I pray that with everything within us, everything that the Holy Spirit gives us, Lord, that we'll start doing some gardening. And we start pulling some weeds and throwing out some thorns, no matter how painful it may be. That God, that we have this focus, this laser focus, that our only goal right now is good soil. And when that soil is good, you promise us an abundance. You promise us 30, 60, 100 times more than you could ever dream of planting inside of us. Lord, this morning I just pray for us. As we sing this last song, that let it be our prayer that you have it all. Take the soil of our life, the hardened path, the rocks, the thorns. Take it all. It's in your name we pray. Amen.